Well, it is a growing epidemic in the sense that more and more people are acquiring these devices and therefore using them. So we have this very large proportion of the population now. It's about half of young people in high and middle income countries have such devices, and another 40% of them also are exposed to very loud noises in pubs and bars and sporting events. And that is, of course, fun for them, but they are often not aware of the risks to their hearing, and that's what we're trying to draw attention to.
I just read from your report that exposure levels depend on the level of noise, obviously. So a subway train, an underground, might reach 100 decibels, which is super loud. And at that level, you recommend that people shouldn't be exposed for more than 15 minutes. And personal audio devices, just to put that into context, can range from 75 decibels to 136. So how are you going to suggest that they change their ways? How are you going to get your message across?
Yes, it is going to be a challenge to change people's behavior, as it often is when we want, you know, to convince people not to smoke or to abuse alcohol, etc. But it's very important to be aware of the risks. It's okay to listen to music, of course, but it's a question of volume and duration. These are the two parameters we can play with. People can continue listen to their devices, but maybe at a less loud volume, or they can take listening breaks. We can also work with patrons in bars and sporting events, etc., to reduce the volume that music is being played at. And finally, we can also work with some of the manufacturers of those devices to limit simply the potential for loudness of the music. It's not a question of cutting the fun, it's a question of limiting the risk.
Can you just tell me what the implications are for people who suffer hearing loss?
Yeah, that's important, because what people tend to think is that hearing loss will come at a very late age, and what we're seeing is that it now, due to listening to too much music and too loud music, it's coming at a much earlier stage, and the symptoms are, you know, difficulties in hearing conversations, difficulties in hearing people speaking on the phone, and it can go up to, you know, including difficulties hearing teachers and friends and so on. So it has an impact on education, it has an impact on social life, and people with hearing loss are very often a bit more isolated than others.
Can you briefly give us an idea of the cost implications to the economy, in addition to the psychological problems that you've just outlined?
Well, we don't really have numbers that are very precise on that, but it is clear that if people have less potential for education, it will have an impact on their professional life. So this is an issue that's touching a lot of people and is going to have repercussions in the future that are quite big.
Because it's becoming a more widespread problem, you say we're more exposed on many levels, whether it's in stadia, whether it's in nightclubs, whether it's actually just going to the gym. There is more sound generally around now than there has been ever before.
It's true, and we've seen, for example, there was a study in the United States who looked at prevalence of hearing loss among teenagers, and in 20 years it went up by 50%, from 3.5 to 5.3. So it is really a sign that there is a growing problem there.